time to await from yours.
Hello, and welcome to the Enlightened Medicine Show with Dr. Valerie Olmsted, the holographic physician and holographic gypsy, who is at least in one place for a few months now. And my special guest tonight is a friend, and he is backed by popular demand. You guys love him. It's Nobo Calypso, the master Chaldean numerologist. Hey, Nobo.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing tonight?
Good.
Excellent.
Caught me with a swig of water
everybody loves... I'm sorry, what?
Caught me with a swig of water in my throat.
Sorry about that.
I was getting
anyway,
intro.
Yeah. So tonight, callers, you can call in. I'm going to give out the call-in numbers first. And I know people are going to want to call in or come on the fast chat or whatever because, you know, usually whoever's listening is like, oh, great, let me call in. So I don't know how many people are listening tonight. Hopefully somebody is. Otherwise, it'll just be you and me and we'll chat about life. Okay, so the call-in numbers are, for the USA and Canada, toll-free 888-228-4494. And again, that's 888-228-4494. Or worldwide is 877-489-6350. And again, that's 877-489-6350. And the direct line is 530-776-5154. And again, direct line is 530-776-5154. Now, if you did not write those numbers down and you're still wondering, you can go on to the BBS Index page and go under BBS Station 2, and you'll see call-in numbers there. So you can call in and ask Nobo your questions about yourself. Nobo, to start out with, for those who have not listened to you before, would you go ahead and give us a brief rundown of what Chaldean numerology is and why it's so much better than the other stuff?
Well, my title is Master Mystical Numerologist. And what it is, it's a ongoing study that involves sacred geometry, nature's patterns, astronomy. It's a work that embodies all, and that's the way that I see it. That's not what I would consider a standard description, but mystical numerology isn't standard. It's a study, and it's a science, and it's a practice that's highly accurate because it embodies all. It doesn't separate out. Like, it's not westernized, and I don't use measuring. Within it, there's nothing to measure. It's highly individual, and it works with the sacred geometry and the nature's patterns that exist around us. And it works with the beliefs and the philosophies and the sacred sciences of the ancients. So all this works together. And you can find Western astrology in there. You can find the Kabbalah in there. You can find anything to do with nature's patterns or sacred geometry or us exist in mystical numerology. What I'm able to do is go into a person's chart and find out what's going on with them, what they should be doing with their life, and then I will uplift them to their full potential. One thing that I like about mystical numerology is that it creates a focus. Instead of feeling that we have all this different energy, which we do have, all this energy and we can't make heads or tails, and if you know, what we should like and what we shouldn't like because there's so much conditioning in this world and especially in our country. There's just way too much conditioning. We're just programmed to be consumers and that's practically that until some of us decide to break free or some of us have lived our life that we were born and just decided to rebel against anything that tried to turn us in a different direction where we're going. With mystical numerology, it's I help people create a focus in their life, a focus with their energies. And when you focus your energies, you go to a higher will, and then your higher will matches with the energies that are flowing through the universe and flowing through nature with us. And so therefore, when people are living in their high potential, anything and everything that they want to accomplish can be done. And it's not a materialistic science, all that one has to learn to work with the material, but all that comes along with it. Like I don't counsel someone of how to get a new car, or, you know, I just think that's silly. You know, if you need a new car, if your car is on the blink, well, for heaven's sakes, if you're living in your full potential, there's absolutely no reason why you shouldn't be able to get one. I just don't see those things as impossible. I think that people who are not living in their higher will and their full positive potential have quite a bit of processes to go through on the planet, because they're living in a lower vibration, and that's not vibrating with anything but other lower vibrations from other people.
Well, that's a good point. And now, of course, that begs the question, how do you know when you're living in your high potential? Can you tell that in the chart when somebody's doing that?
I can, well, when I sit with them, I can tell. All I have to do is ask some questions. How a person knows when they're living in their high potential is they feel like a cloud. They don't feel contained in the human body. The ancients believed that there was one form of duality, and it was an illusion, but there was one form of duality that all of mankind dealt with, men and women. And that was the feeling of being drawn down inside of a cube and trying to get up out of it at the same time. When people are living in their full potential, they don't have that. They don't have that duality. They feel uplifted.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I think we have a caller. Hello?
Dr. Valerie?
Yes.
This is Carla.
Hey, Carla, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fabulous. And, of course, our friend Novo is on, and as always, he's fascinating. He's telling me a few things that I hadn't asked him before.
Okay.
So go ahead and ask Novo your question.
I guess what I'd like him to do is, I don't know if you would call it, do a reading on me.
Mm-hmm.
So do whatever he does with his clients to see where I'm going in the future.
What is your date of birth?
July 18th, 57. I was born 7:29 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah, this is what we call the quickie reading. I got to tell you, though, what's your appetite, you know?
I could tell a lot already by your birth date. And your first name's Carla. Is that spelled with a C or a K?
It's with a K.
Okay. The main... One of the main things about you, Carla, is you're this major type peacekeeper person. You don't like conflict. You're a peacekeeper person.
Okay.
You're a person who doesn't like conflict.
No.
You don't like conflicts. You don't like confrontations. You want to work with things in a more peaceful way. You're a person who does things with style and class, very thoughtful, very considerate. The only thing that I would need to ask you is, how are you doing in your life? Because people who have this pattern usually put other people's purposes and goals ahead of themselves, because they don't want to, you know, they don't want to rock the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And how are you doing with that?
Really, to be honest, not too good. I'm finding out that I used to have a belief of I wanted to treat people the way I wanted to be treated, and I found out that they took my kindness for weakness. So now I have the belief of, if you're nice to me, I'll be nice to you, and if you're not, then I'm not going to be nice either. Because I
yeah,
found
that's,
like,
that's not. Let me switch that around for you, because that's a very westernized way of thinking. Let me switch it around to say that you have got to be around people who appreciate you. They have got to appreciate the things that you do. For you not to do these things for people would be unnatural. And so therefore you would go like into the opposite pole of this wonderful expression that's highly artistic. And for you not to do things for people that comes from your heart, it wouldn't really be living in your full potential. So the best way to work this for yourself is, if you're around people who don't appreciate the things that you do, this is not the energy that you should be around, and leave it as that. It doesn't matter how another person treats you, because we're living in a very there's so much discordant feelings, and that's why everything's so heavy out in the world today. Everybody is not everybody, but so many people are coming from these lower primitive chakras, this lower grounded energy, and it's almost hostile. People have too much individual strife, too many bills to meet. People have gone beyond their means, and so there's a lot of fear, and there's a lot of lower chakra stuff. Most people only understand one another about 1/8. So I wouldn't have a lot of high expectations from the people, because I do notice you have a 11 in your chart. And when you have an 11, that's a very high, high idealistic pattern. And it usually sets standards, very high standards for other people to live. Let's try to get more into that pattern to be uplifting for people. Now, I want to talk about the day you were born on, because this is a very powerful day.
Okay.
And one of the main things that you should be doing in this world is sharing your gifts with the world, because you have a lot of them. And you always have to ask, how can I share my gifts with the world, not what can the world give to me? That's the tricky part with this day. But you also have a very high sixth sense. Very, very good sixth sense. You're a very intuitive person. And I would use that to guide you, because you do have a lot of talents. And most of your opportunities are going to come from friends, from family, from acquaintances, from people getting to know you. So if you had this kind of cynical, and I'm not saying you're cynical, but if you had this kind of hurtful, cynical behavior towards people, then you wouldn't be able to get the opportunities, because these type of vibrations that you have are best partnering up with other people. So it means that you do have to be involved with other people. And if you close that door, because in the past people weren't able to appreciate you, then you're going to be closing down opportunities to yourself. I would highly suggest always being around people who appreciate you, or either that or letting them know. Now, it's hard to tell a woman this, because it almost seems chauvinistic or sexist, but it's not. Men who have this pattern need to be appreciated well.
Okay.
But if you're not, it creates a moodiness, because this is a pattern that's governed by the moon. And it will create a moodiness, and then if you're not getting the appreciation that you need, and if you're always bolstering other people, because you'll do anything to make another person feel good. You're the type of person who will chicken soup people to death. You'll be resourceful, you'll want to fix their hurts, and if you're not appreciated for that, it could turn you to be quite insensitive and sometimes very rude to people. And you don't want to go there.
Okay.
So the most thing, what do you do to express your artistic abilities?
Well, I used to build homes, and I used to decorate them. And I really get into decorating with the talents that I have, which is kind of limited, but I do pretty good for the average Joe Blow person.
I'd say you do way better than average.
Yeah, this 20, fabulous, dear.
20,
yeah, this 20 you have doesn't tell me this isn't an average pattern. This is a 20. This is a very large pattern. It's also.
Oh, she tricks out a house. Her house is beautiful.
Yeah, I imagine it is with a 20. Now, those are the gifts that you're to share with the world.
Yeah, see, I like doing that, and you know, I do that to relax myself. You know, if I want to go into distraction or relax, then you know, it's like let me trick somebody's house out.
Well, this is this pattern also brings in high intellectual energy, and probably in younger years, you were probably a lot smarter than the other people around you. It just brings in a very high intellect, and sometimes people with this will get a little, you know, uppity about the intellect. But mostly, it is the sixth sense, and it is to let you know, it draws you to material comforts. You're very drawn to this, to have a material comforts, and that's something that shouldn't be, you shouldn't be shy about. The only
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. Something comforts?
Material comforts.
Okay.
This is a very large draw towards material comforts. And a lot of people today, a lot of New Agers today, when I bring up the word material, it's as if I threw acid in their face or something. It's like a horrible sting or just something terrible that I said. And what it is we're in the material world. We're in the relative reality, and we're supposed to work with the material, and we're supposed to have this comfort. So what's the big deal here?
Yeah.
The only time that it gets really bad is when people chase it for status, prestige, and rewards. When people don't care who they step over to get a, you know, to get a second car or something. That's when we're looking at, you know, going a little bit overboard here.
Yeah.
So your pattern, the day that you were born on, calls for you wanting this material comfort around you, and you should have it. And the best way to get it is through your gifts with the world.
Okay.
One thing that you really do enjoy is to be in a cooperative setting where people cooperate and get along.
Mm-hmm.
You like that type of energy. And if you don't, you know, you could become a little unbent. And even technology and appliances and things like that, you'd like things to cooperate with you. And it also means that you have a 20 that you know what it takes for people to cooperate. You're no stranger to this. You know immediately what it takes.
Okay.
And I would suggest really letting these people know. And I really seriously suggest being around people who appreciate you. If they don't, as much as you will do for somebody, I just don't see a reason for you to continue being around those people until they realize that they have to show you some appreciation. Now, as I was saying, it's hard to tell females this because it's almost like a cliche and it's almost like sexist. It's like, well, you're a woman, you have to be appreciated for the things that you do. But as I said before, when men have this pattern, they need it too. It's
mm-hmm.
just the things that you do in order for you to continue doing them, you have to have that appreciation. It's like a fuel. And
mm-hmm.
you're not a type of person who wants a big brass band marching down the street. But, you know, appreciation in any way you really do need to have. So sometimes we have to educate our friends and family. And
well, I've been doing a lot of educating lately.
And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
Then
they're left to their own processes, and they have to stay in their lower chakras. And their lessons are going to be hard.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, if people want their life to be easier, you have to stay in the full positive expression of who you are. And don't see, another thing that you have is working with this duality stuff. You know duality real well. So you would have to find the middle ground within the duality quite a bit. and you also deal with uncertainties. How are you with, because I know you're drawn to friends and groups of friends. The major question I would ask is, have you differentiated who you are as an individual? Have you realized your own eminence? Have you had your own distinction? Because a lot of times people with this pattern will reconcile first, and that means finding out what their harmony is within a group.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll do that first and, you know, kind of flounder around within the group and get, you know, a lot of lessons and things don't go right until they stand on their own 2 feet and say, this is who I am. You embrace your ideals, you embrace your inner truth, you embrace who you are as an individual. Then you reconcile that within. Have you done that?
To be honest, no. I've been kind of flapping around.
Okay, and you'll continue, and this isn't a prophecy, but you'll continue flopping around until you decide what your own eminence is.
Mm-hmm.
Because these patterns that you have call for this. And you don't really have to worry about the future because you'll build on anything. You're considered a master builder. And you'll build on anything, but it has to be step by step. So you don't have to worry about the future. You are a person who will try to conquer all the limitations and restrictions that are in your way with force. You don't like to be limited, and you don't like to be restricted. And the only thing with this pattern is it's a strong 22 that you've carried your whole life. And that means that, you know, there's been some insurmountable things that have happened with you, but it's not anything from the universe. It's you not liking limitations. And you will see them fast. And then you'll find a way to get around this, or you'll just flat out try to conquer it. So, you know, to ask about what you're going to do in the future, what you're going to do is go to your higher will and differentiate who Carla is as an individual. Stand on your own 2 feet, and I will acknowledge that you have anguish to be alone. You really don't like to be alone. But,
no, I've been a hermit for a long time lately, too.
And have you been able to decide, okay, this is who I am as a strong as an individual? This is who I am, standing my own 2 feet.
I'm still working on that.
Okay, that is the most powerful thing, or it's one of the most blessed things that you could do for you. And all the answers are right in your heart. If you don't need to, you know, the whole thing with Western society is we've been conditioned. It's almost like, you know, we have been purposely programmed to only deal with one small mode of who we are as a total being, and that's the left side of the brain, to deal with logic and rationale. So we've all been trained for this, conditioned for this, told that any other theories, any other academic thoughts, any speculations, that anything else is false. You don't see it. If you can't compute it, if you can't weigh it, if you can't measure it, if you can't observe it, and if you can't conclude it right then and there, it doesn't exist. Well, this is false because there's too many axioms and there's too many laws of nature. So a lot of it is the conditioning that we do have, and a lot of us aren't really aware of just how strong this is. The news has it, the people in the movies have it, or the people who are our examples have it. It's in politics, it's in religion, it's in science. We're inundated with this. And what it's done is just turn us into zombies and very, very unhappy people, because we're dealing with a very small part of who we are. The best answer is in the heart. That's our psycho-spiritual self. That's a place that is untainable and incorruptible. And the heart has all the answers for every single solitary individual on this planet. If a person isn't finding the answers in the heart, then they're not listening. They're spending too much time in the head. My strong suggestion is get out of the head and into the heart, and don't worry so much about other people, because it is very strained times, and there are a lot of individual strife. Jin Tatsumura, who does the the Gaia symphonies over in Japan, he words it a little bit more Japanese polite, which is individuals are engaged in their in individual pursuit for ease and comfort, where I just consider it individual strife. We're all trying to be the so-called winner, like on a Wheaties box or something. And we already are. And so my strong suggestion is to get out of the head and into the heart, and don't worry about these other people, because these are very different times, but they're great times because people are waking up and saying, I'm not going to take this anymore. I'm not going to be programmed like this anymore. I'm not going to be conditioned like this. I'm not going to let the corporations decide for me what I should do and what I shouldn't, and this is what's happened. Everything from a toaster to an automobile has been programmed to break down, and we've been programmed since small children to be lifelong consumers of many, 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 many products.
Okay.
And that's the way that our country is. But it doesn't mean that we have to stand for it. We have to stand on our own 2 feet and say, nope. I'm going to have my own eminence, and I'm going to speak from the heart. The ancients always believed in heart to tongue. And the brain just followed suit with it. If you could remember, spirit is life, mental is the builder, and the physical is the result, you got the ticket. Because that is the way that nature has been for 3 billion years, and that's the way it's always going to be. Spirit is life, mental is the builder, physical is the result. It is not mental is life. It's spirit is life. Once you have that, you have a really good understanding of where you should go. And I strongly recommend for you to go into the heart. And that silent moment, putting your hand on your heart, breathing deep, and feeling that glorious energy, because this is your true self, your psycho-spiritual identity. And again, it's incorruptible and untainable. And once people start living through the heart, which in actuality is what man has been trained to do for hundreds of thousands of years, it's only recently since the Industrial Revolution and the last, over 1,500 years has man gone more into the brain, logic and rationale, and that doesn't mean that it's correct.
Okay. Noble, I have two more questions. What happens if your heart has been broken? And then my other question is, I'm working on trading, and I haven't actually started trading live, but I'm still in my learning process. I was wondering if I was going to be financially successful with it.
Well, like I said, you're a master builder manifesto. Carla, you can manifest anything that you want. For
okay.
you to even question that you're going to be successful, to me, doesn't even come into the picture. It's almost like an oxymoron. A master builder builds, and that's that. You want to be highly effective. You want to be purposeful, and you will take a practical look at working with step-by-step process, but also using your intuition. You have to use your intuition in this step-by-step. Now, as far as having your heart broken, I can't do your whole chart, but I imagine you must have a 33 in the chart. Because when people have had their heart broken in love, it means that they usually have a 33, and when a person who has a 33 has their heart broken, they will build a fortress around this that is impenetrable. And no man can lay siege. I would suggest to lower those walls because it's impenetrable. Nothing, you won't let anything in. And how are you supposed to live life, manifest the energies around you? That's kind of like taking the Kuan Yin energy, because that's what the 33 is. It is a Kuan Yin energy, not Kuan Yin. I want to make that clear. I don't believe in these separate gods and goddesses, and neither did the ancients. They were spiritual energies, divine energies. The 33 is a divine energy that can be called Kuan Yin, or Yeshua, the Christ consciousness. And I don't use Christ consciousness because of Constantine. the 33 is an energy that pours through you that you are supposed to alleviate the suffering of others. But it's a very fragile energy because you understand what it means to you know what real love is. And then when you get your heart broken, boom, it's encased. And you got to let this casing out because it's like taking the, it is taking the energy from the one, from the all, from the absolute all, from God, from spirit, the omnipotent, whatever term. And you're taking this energy and bottling it up and not manifesting it for other people. It's not to say you won't have your heart broken again, but if you follow your intuition, I bet you won't. If your intuition says, Carla, he's the wrong guy, but if you're like, no, but he's so cute and he's so nice, well, what can you say?
Yeah.
So I would open that up because it's actually used to have more empathy for people who are suffering, people who really need the help, and if you bottle it up, you can't give it to them.
Okay. I think that kind of comes in with
don't worry about your success. You got it. You got the patterns to get there.
So you said I'm a master builder?
Master builder manifesto. You manifest anything that you want.
Yeah, you can create whatever you want, Carla.
I used to be able to do that, and the last 10 years I got the crap knocked out of me.
Well, you know what? Things have been a little trying, but if you stay in your higher will, if you always say to yourself every single solitary day, I am a master builder manifesto, if you just say that every single solitary day, I will manifest. I am a master builder manifesto, and I will manifest. Anything that doesn't have anything to do with that energy should not be a part of yours. I walk away from people all the time, Carla. If people are, like, so low in their chakras, you know, as if they're groveling and they want to grovel and they want to tug at my pant leg and try to pull me down with them, I won't do it. I'll walk away. And I'll tell them, when you're ready to stand on your own 2 feet, then we can talk. But I am not coming down and groveling with you. So stay in your higher will. No matter what. Now remember, the master builder can be a creator or a destroyer. So you have to. It's a Shiva cycle. So you have to go with the positive of master building, of manifesting not only for yourself but for others. Master builders are highly efficient people, and that's what you want to look at, is being highly efficient to make life better not only for yourself but other people. And stay in that high potential. Anything that has nothing to do with that energy doesn't, you don't allow enter. You don't digest other people's energy. Just, see ya.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, in other words, don't be nice, be real.
Yeah, that sounds
good. You know, sometimes there's a lot of people right now that are trying to keep things down, that are trying to keep them the way they used to be. And the whole energy of what we're going into is moving beyond that. And so you have to take the foot out of the world of what a lot of people call reality, and you have to leap for the distant cliff there, which is the new reality. And you can't do it if you've got a lot of people dragging on your feet.
And it doesn't mean you're not compassionate. It just means that I offer people a hand, and if they want, if they'll allow me to uplift them, then we can stand side by side. But if I offer them a hand and they're trying to drag me down with them to wallow in whatever it is that they're going through, I won't do it. I just flat refuse to do it. And so offering the hand is good. It's real good. And that's uplifting. But we're not supposed to self-debilitate and stagnate. We are supposed to, once we start stagnating, we're looking at dissolution, destruction, and collapse. Everything on this planet and in the universe is about expansion and growth. Everything moves. Everything changes. if someone wants to, you know, be on the ground wallowing in whatever woes or process of woes they're going through, that's okay for that time. You know, then that's like an energy, a Sobek energy. That's them trying to find their own transformation. That's okay. But to plunge in that state and stay there is stagnation. And that's not good. But a process is a process.
Mm-hmm.
But I won't join. I have too much love for people, and I have too much love for the energies in the world to say, oh, no. No, there isn't that such thing as despair. I see that as illusion, and you need to see it as an illusion as well. Turn into the opposite of the pole. And if they don't want to do that, well, maybe there will be a different time that they will. So
drag them along.
No, because it's that discordant energy in the lower chakra. See, the energies of the universe don't merge with that. That's not the energies that exist. This is such a low energy that's in these two lower realms. And the energy from the universe, it can't uplift this. It just can't. It stays where it is, kind of like in a muck.
Yeah.
Well, in order for somebody to move forward, would they need to have like a clearing or something done?
That depends on how you feel. I do something called ho'olaho lima, which means cooperation. And I have an ability to go inside of people and find out just what's going on with them. Like, I'll give you an example. This woman came to see me, and she told me that seven different people told her that she was going to be rejected throughout her life in every relationship that she had. So she was being rejected in every relationship that she had. And I said, that's a bunch of hogwash. And I said, were these people astrologers? And she said, yes. And I said, well, that's Western astrology. I said, it's hogwash. You can't. Everything is about growth and expansion. You don't stagnate into a certain situation. So what I did is I did the ho'olahu lima with her, and I went inside. And what I found out is that she was very highly clairvoyant. I had seen this in her chart, but what I had felt was that she was so clairvoyant that when she did get a date with a guy, she was able to see so far into the future and see the probability of an outcome that she became very cold and distant to this person. And she inadvertently rejected him, but waited for him to, you know, beat it on out of there because she had turned into a block of ice.
That was a different spin on his self-fulfillment.
Oh, yes. So that didn't have two beans to do with Western astrology, but she believed, oh, well, you know, it's my fate, it's within the stars, I'm supposed to be rejected my whole life. No, we're living in a compassionate universe. How can you even think that for a minute? That doesn't exist. If someone did say to that, then you go to the opposite within the pole, and you live within the positive potential, saying that I am going to be accepted by everybody I meet, because I'm going to be cheerful. But if you're going to turn into a block of ice, well... So that's what I do, but with you, you would need cooperation within all your energies is what I would suggest. I wouldn't go seeing a whole lot of people because, Carla, I'm telling you, the main answer is when you go into your heart energy and you feel that heart energy and you know what your heart energy is, it radiates out, and you can have the cooperation in all your energies, especially the three major energies, which is the conscious, the subconscious, and the superconscious. If you live in your highest will, Carla, that always prevails. Always. And that creates cooperation through the heart and with the other energy. So you would have to say, I'm going to live in my highest will of being the artistic master builder manifesto. And then, you know, if you want to change it to be a little bit more descriptive down the road, that's fine. But you want to stay in that highest will, and you want to feel the energy from the heart, which is almost like a silver rain applause. It's the heart puts out so much beautiful energy because this is tapped right into the source, not the left side of the brain. So your clearing or your cleansing would be tap into your heart energy and get out of the head.
Okay.
And so that way you don't have to go see a whole bunch of practitioners and their woo-woo stuff. You could go into, unless you found a really good one, like Dr. Valerie. But you could spend so much time jumping around, and then they could say, oh, well, honey, you need to come see me 10 more times. It's like, I don't think so. It's within the heart energy.
Now, Dr. Valerie, those pictures that I got, would that help me too?
Yes.
Oh, you should.
Yeah, 'cause those photos were taken during the vortex gatherings, during the point of love. And so it's all love and forgiveness and manifestation and helping others. And so the energy with that is always going to uplift you because it's all about moving into the highest consciousness and being consciously connected with that. And I told you before, everything that you need is within you. You know, you've got everything absolutely in order to do exactly what you want to do.
Okay.
Yeah, see, twos do that. We just talked about differentiating yourself, and if you're talking about going to see someone else for a clearing, wrong, that's not... that's not differentiating who you are as an individual. The best atmosphere for you to find this discovery is alone in the night sky.
Okay. So would I go outside and sit in the dark?
Sure. Absolutely. In quiet. Lay your head back. Drink water. I like drinking Penta because it's oxidized and has antioxidants. Drink lots of water, breathe deep, and breathe up through the lower chakras. Breathe up from the stomach. Breathe that up past the heart. It will rinse right through the heart. And then lay your hand on your heart and get out of the head. If the head starts blah 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 blah, blah just shh. Shh, 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 shh. Don't tell yourself to shut up. That's not real nice. Just go shh, 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 shh. And eventually you'll start recognizing the heart energy, and you'll start living through it. It's the most natural way to live on this planet. Heart through tongue. The other thing of conditioned, mutilated brain through mouth has never served man well, and that's obvious. Because we're talking with words that we've been conditioned. Have you noticed how many cliches Americans use? I mean, we speak in these cliches, in this mythological language.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ is my Savior. How mythological can you get?
Okay.
You got it.
This is interesting. Cool. Glad I called in.
Yeah, we are too.
Glad you did too. Excellent. Well, thank you for calling in. I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. I listen to you all the time, Dr. V.
I know. Thank God for people like you.
I didn't mean to take up all this time.
Well, we can go longer, you know, because there's nobody on after my show. So we could go longer if someone else wants to call in. So let's say goodnight to Carla then, and we'll see if anybody else calls in. They need to call right away.
It was nice speaking with you, Carla.
Thank you so much, Noble, and thank you so much, Dr. Valerie.
You bet.
You're quite welcome.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Where is she from?
Chicago.
Oh, Chicago. Daddy was a cop in the east side of Chicago. Remember that song?
I don't know what side it is. We got there somehow, but I have no idea exactly where that is. You know, it was interesting. Carla was telling me that when they had tornadoes in her area, the tornadoes hit every place around where they were, and we had just left a couple days or a week before or something, I think, when they hit. But their area was completely safe, and there was devastation all around them. And I thought, well, that just shows you the power of the white light pillar that we put in there, you know, when we're doing the vortex thing. And, you know, my thing is to empower people, too. I'm always telling them, you don't need the equipment. You can do this yourself. You know, and it's just basically a thing of connecting up with the highest self and allowing, you know, that energy to come in and fire you up. And, you know, I mean, everything comes from within us anyway. The whole world that we see comes from within us. We don't even think it. It comes from a mind that's not even in this body. Well, that was interesting. What the heck was that?
That is a...
Is that you?
Yeah, it's my...
Oh, okay.
It's turned off.
Okay, I didn't know if we had another caller.
well, that
usually
that,
either Seth will say something or else there's like a beep or something.
That's how Christianity came into being, is because there was all these people running around that felt as if it was like the early Renaissance sphere too. It was all these people running around who felt as if they could create miracles inside themselves. And these were really happy people, and they were doing wonderful things. Crops
mm-hmm.
were growing, homes were being built, relationships were great. And Constantine, the church fathers, decided, oh, no, we just can't have this. And that's when it started, that control.
Mm-hmm.
That's when they slid in the symbolism got it. And then, of course, the brutalities and the murders and the gold, glory, and guide, and then yada-da-da-da, everything from there. But it did begin with people creating those miracles inside themselves. And it's really not miracles. What it is just living as a natural being, manifesting the energies that are naturally around us and coming from through the universe.
Well, right. It's actually quantum physics.
Right. Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
When
quantum
I'm doing
knowing.
The quantum,
Yeah,
when I'm doing the quantum vortex thing, basically all we're doing is we're creating a zero-point field. People can do it themselves, but until they've felt the field, they don't know when they're actually doing it. And so then once they've felt it, then they can do other practices, meditation and prayer and things like that. And when I say prayer, I don't mean a ritual prayer. I mean a discussion that you have with your highest self, where you acknowledge the highest self, and you acknowledge your connection to that highest self. I call it the golden grid. And you bring that power down through you. You know, you basically, you kind of hook up to the higher power, and that's how you're able to do miracles, and that's how you manifest. And this is why when I do a quantum vortex gathering, we go through several stages. You know, we do release, we do forgiveness, we do prayer of intercession for others, we do the blue spark and the golden grid connection meditations, and then we manifest. And so there's a reason that it happens that way. That's because when you create miracles, or when you manifest what you want, it has to come from that point of love and joy. It
right.
has to come from inside of your heart. Seth is asking, what's the difference between the numerology that Nobo does and the traditional style? And yes,
well,
it is Chaldean, Seth.
I consider it it can be called Chaldean or mystical, and I switched over to mystical because it doesn't have the Chaldean influence any longer. The Chaldeans were what were considered the Magi, and a lot of their secrets became lost. So for me to continue saying it's Chaldean would say that it has a strong Chaldean influence, but it doesn't. Mine has a very strong mystical influence, and mysticism basically means to find the truth. And so with this, it has to do with sacred geometry, astronomy, music, Netarus, Numinas, nature's patterns, a whole bunch of things. Now, Western numerology, actually, Pythagoras went to Egypt and Chaldea and Babylon. He was thrown in jail in Chaldea. But I mean, in Babylon. He actually went and studied with the Egyptians, and this is where this numerology that I do comes from. And then he took it back to his people, and he created rituals and practices for his people at that time. So Western numerology today is actually defunct. It doesn't, and Western astrology isn't as accurate as it used to be because it's very topical and it deals with the seasons. I think Vedic is a little bit more because that deals with star energy, and mystical numerology deals with cosmic or star energy. The Western numerology it breaks people down to a single digit. And what in mystical numerology, it's the triad of the patterns and what I call the rain. I find more information in a person's reign than I do in their categories. They may not even be able to get to that final pattern. Like someone would say, oh, well, you're a number five. Well, have they been able to get to that five yet? Nine times out of ten, no. So what I work with the most is what's considered the reign. All the patterns that flow down one into each other, I could see everything that the person's going through within this reign.
It's quite accurate, too.
Right.
You know, that's one thing.
And it's even more accurate because most things I don't tell people. There's a lot of things that I know, but I'm not going to turn around and say, ooh, you devilish little so-and-so, aren't you? There's things that I see in people's charts that, you know, I just don't say, but I know that it's there. So what I do is I uplift them to a higher way of thinking. But if people really wanted a strong, accurate reading, then I would, you know, these people could leave my presence with their tail between their legs, and that's not the purpose of mystical numerology. Because when you
the whole point is to empower somebody. Because,
right.
You know, the thing, too, is that whatever they came in with, they may not be that person at all anymore. You know, they might have had tendencies and things,
right.
You know, as they were growing up, and then they learned their lessons and would never go back and do things that they did when they were younger.
Right.
So it no longer really pertains, but you'd still see it in their chart.
Yeah, I could see it, and I would intuitively feel it. Especially if the person's in my presence, I would know if it exists or not.
Well, now, the thing that's interesting, too, is when you did my chart, you explained so many things to me that made my life make sense. Because before, I was always like, well, now, why is this happening, and why is that happening, and what the hell's wrong with me that all this stuff keeps happening, and you just cleared it right up for me. I was like, oh, all right, that explains a few things.
Yeah,
so I can see
the worry thing.
Yeah, well, my parents taught me to worry.
Nine's just worry. It's part of the pattern, but it could be let go. But it is part of the pattern.
Oh yeah, well, I gave up worrying about things years ago. I mean, you know, I drive people crazy now because I don't worry enough. You know, they are very unhappy with the amount of worrying that I do because it's, you know, fairly non-existent. But I had to work through that, you know, because I had a really strong worry pattern. And it was quite difficult, and it took me many years, and it took me a lot of spiritual searching and doing a lot of crazy things like running through the jungle at night barefoot with no flashlight. You know, in a land of 56 varieties of poisonous snakes and tiger thorns sticking out that you couldn't see because they were so thin. And, I mean, you know, crazy stuff like that in order to drop that kind of thing. So I know that patterns can be changed. And, you know, what I choose to do is to keep the good patterns, you know, and really grow those good patterns. And so I'd like to encourage everybody that's listening to this, you know, whatever your chart says, yeah, you can see it there, but, you know, I think it's our task and our goal in life to change things into that higher vibratory rate.
You know, I couldn't agree with you more. One thing that Seth should know is that mystical numerology does deal very strongly with sacred geometry, and sacred geometry is in the purest form. That's what that there's that has a lot to do with the mystical quality. And then what you were saying about the we have to have that involution inside, and this is what people should have an understanding that yes, we do have a responsibility to the body that we're in, because we have this DNA that's in us. That is, it's the same DNA and it's recycled again, 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 again. Well, here we are, you know, we cart around this DNA, and we can actually change the DNA in our body. We don't have to deal with the Civil War. We don't have to deal with Napoleon. We don't have to deal with Idi Amin. We don't have to deal with all this stuff that could be in the strands of DNA. What we do have to do is we could turn the DNA into a positive by not acknowledging. No man doesn't have to rape and plunder to get ahead in this world. No, this doesn't have to happen. No, this doesn't have to happen. No, I don't have to stick my nose over my neighbor's fence because I'm a Christian. I don't want them pissing off my God. Thoughts like this, you know, we need to take out. You know, I don't like Jews. I don't like black people. I don't like this. I don't like that. Well, here it is. You know, fueling it in this DNA.
Mm-hmm.
When it's like with you being a humanitarian, as a person who is accepting of all races, colors, creeds, religions, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good for the DNA because you probably got some DNA from, you know, some Nazi somewhere. And you're like, no. We're changing that.
Yeah. I have never understood the whole race taboos. And maybe because I grew up in San Francisco, but I never got it. And I was like, you know, it just seems really stupid to me. You know, we're all people. And I can tell you, in the medical field, I've had my hands inside of every portion of a person's body. And not just through the normal openings, but you know, I mean, I was in ER and ICU, and so I have seen that we are all the same inside. We may have different characteristics on the outside, but inside we are all the same. And so people need to understand that, and you know, just think of yourself like cats and dogs and horses. They come in all different, you know, shapes and conformation and in colors, and that's just the way it is. So what's the big deal? But,
it
you know,
is the only way that there's unity in the cosmos. That's the only way there's unity on the planet is through diversity. Diversity creates unity. That is the only way possible to create any kind of unity whatsoever is through diversity.
Now, that's interesting. I hadn't heard that before, but it makes perfectly good sense. You know, but you go through the, it's like if you see something like if the spaceship lands or, you know, comes over on the 14th, like they're saying that it's going to, if that happens and space beings come out and they don't look like us, there, first of all, there's going to be a whole lot of people that just have heart attacks on the spot and strokes. But beyond that, you know, what are people going to do? They're going to have to figure out, hey, if these are nice beings, you know, how do we manage with this? Because they look so different.
What a great revelation to say, oh my wonder, the universe is even more diverse than I could possibly imagine. That means there's even more parts of me to explore that are wonderful and great. I'm pulling my little rooted butt out of this turnip patch.
Oh, I can tell you, you know, when I sit and talk with somebody, whatever past lives they've had flash on their face, I see them. And, you know, people tell me they see thousands of faces, you know, and if they're with me all evening and they're looking at my face, they're going, oh, my God, you're shape-shifting. And I'm like, no, you're just seeing the past lives, you know, that you might have seen me in before. But, I mean, I had one that cracked me up. I about fell off the couch. I was laughing so hard because I saw that this guy, he was kind of apricot-colored and chocolate brown in like these kind of weird organic looking stripes across his face. And he had these big warts on his face with long hairs sticking out of them. And he was, you know, not humanoid. Well, he was a little bit humanoid, but, you know, he was something else. And as I looked at that, because I know that when you see those faces changing all the time, it's a past life that you've been there with them. First I'm looking at him going, oh, my God, he looks really weird. And then I went, oh, my God, I'm seeing that. That means that I was in that life, too, and I looked like that. And then I just cracked myself up. You know, I was laughing so hard I couldn't stop laughing for a while because the whole thought was so funny to me. Because, you know, we think we're God's perfect little beings here and that, you know, that we were created in God's image. But
well, actually mankind is. That's why it's so ridiculous to be prejudiced against shape, size, color, or anything, because within any human form that could weigh 800 pounds or it could weigh 123 pounds or it could be blue like Krishna or it could be black like a onyx or it could be white like a snowball. And it doesn't really much matter. It could be 4 feet tall or 8 feet tall. Within the human form, we have the golden means throughout our entire body. Our entire proportion is perfect.
Exactly.
We have the golden means in our head about six times. We are perfect. We are already perfect. So all these perfectionists running around, everything has got to be perfect. It's like, hey, sugar pie, slow down.
Yeah, it's already happened. You missed it.
Yeah, it's already created. Don't worry about it. Just strive a little bit more for excellence. Forget about the perfectionist thing. Leave that to the higher consciousness. Leave that to God. Leave that to the cosmos. But we are. We're perfected beings, and that's not to say that other beings on other planet aren't, because they probably have the golden mean or perfect proportions with them too. But here on this planet, for someone not to like someone because they weigh 400 pounds or they don't like someone because they're brown doesn't make sense, because they are just as perfect as you are in every way. They have the golden means throughout them. You have the golden means throughout you. Both are in sacred geometry within the purest form, so get over yourself and good luck in really having a fulfilled life. If you're going to say, nope, can't talk to that person, can't talk to this one because I'm a bozo, and I'm prejudiced for whatever reason.
Well, it's like that movie Shallow Hal, you know, where he and his friend will only go out with perfect women, you know, and then he gets hypnotized by Tony Robbins, and he starts going out with this really, really overweight woman and falls in love with her and, you know, and doesn't see her as how she really is. And that's the way it is. Hey, before I forget, Seth was asking about being a number six. He says in Western numerology he's a six, but he doesn't feel like it fits. So I've asked him for his birth date. So, Seth, if you can get on the line and give us your
birth date.
I don't know. I don't have it. Don't have it on the fast chat here.
I'll give you a fast wink about men who are sixes. They can be the most amazing charmers you ever want to meet. They could be so charming and manipulative. That's how a man with a six expresses it. Through charm. And they usually use it in a with sexuality a lot until, you know, they get over themselves and they find out that, oh, well, there's more depth to this than I realize. It's kind of like going and buying a toy and just sitting around and admiring it instead of unwrapping it and really enjoying what it is. But men who have sixes in a like a 15-6 or a 24-6, boy, are they're usually very good looking, very, very charming. They will put on this huge gift giving. I want to help you, and they honestly feel that they want to help, but they use it as manipulation. So then they look at themselves as, oh, I must be a mass manipulator. until they get some depth. And the depth usually happens when they get married and have kids.
Oh, there you go, Seth. Very, very interesting. Seth, can you get on the line? Maybe he's not listening. Oh, here we go. 123-1980.
He's all about the freedom. He has to be careful of self-indulgences. Yep, he's a 15-6. But he really has to look at the day that he was born on, because these people move. They're always in motion. They're always wanting to be stimulated. The biggest downfall with them would be self-indulgences, over indulging in things. 23-5s, once they learn to focus and discipline, they do a lot better, but it's getting them to that point, because there's always something that they're indulging in, and they have to be really, really careful about them. I always suggest to people who are born on the 23rd to get into martial arts or Qigong or yoga, because that creates a discipline for them. And then a lot of times they have too many irons in the fire. There's too many things that they're doing at one time, and so they're scattered. He does come out to a 15-6, and that is strong to manipulate people to appreciate him, to like him. He likes to be center of attention. You know, people who he kind of draws in the appreciation for himself, and all he really has to do is just be himself. Another thing that's great about being born on the 23rd is progress, change, action, and words in action. They're very, very good with words in action. Writing, public speaking, lecturing, things like that. They have this ability to hold an audience captive, because they're so magnetic and they're so animated that he really should be in a large, very large public arena. I'm not too sure what he does besides what he's doing now. But he should be in the public, in a focal point, with the public all around him, because he can hold their attention. Since he does have the 15-6, he would know how to draw that in even more. So it would be a very magnetic and influential, with these patterns going together, it would be very, very magnetic and very influential. And then
he has
the 18-9 in there, which means that he can cause a little disturbances with people, you know, kind of use his words to, you know, create a little upheaval in people's lives, you know, use these strong words so people can get it or get what, you know, get his meaning. And he's supposed to do that. He is supposed to cause a little upheaval with people. You know, like a little Howard Stern thing. You know, he is supposed to, well, he is. He's supposed to use that ability. He's very good with words. You know, very, very good with words and action. And he should use them to create a change, because he is about progress and change, so he should do that. But being married, it will really bring out that benevolence with him. Is he married?
Yeah, he's married and just had a baby.
Yeah, that's going to do
how
it.
How long ago that was?
Yeah, we'll see in another year if he says he's not a six. He's going to be so protective of that child.
Well, sixes are nurturing.
Very nurturing.
You know? Yeah. So
very family orientated.
Yeah.
They love their family and community.
Mm-hmm.
But very, very strong with the community. His greatest success would come from being in a very large center of arena, where he would offer other people help, support, and counseling. and that will increase his finances, and that will increase his spirituality.
He says he's thinking about getting into local politics.
He should.
Interesting.
He should. He's very magnetic.
There you
but
go.
He needs to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
He can captivate people.
Mm-hmm.
But he really should. Sixes do, it is about honesty. He should be around trees, a lot of trees, plants, flowers. His home should be beautiful. He likes beauty. His wife is probably very beautiful. They're offended by ugly things. They just don't like them. It's almost offensive for something ugly to be around this person. It's like, oh.
That's too funny.
Yeah.
All right.
But, yeah, if he wants to get into politics, he should. He has to be in a large public arena. The 15-6 calls for being at a focal point where people would come to him, but a 23, that demands something very large, and he should really use his talent for words because he's got it, and keep away from them self-indulgences.
He says he only started caring about politics after he had his son.
Yep, told you. That's when a man gets it. When they have the family, boom! Oh, I am compassionate. I'm going to go in the corner and cry. I've been such a little shit my whole life. I really am a good person. Yep, you are.
Awesome. That's so funny. Okay, then we have another request. Richard says his birthday is 9/21/1964.
Oh, happy day. Someone with a healthy self-esteem. Ask him if he likes sports.
Okay,
what
I'll
is
watch
it again?
Fast chat here. 9/21/64.
54?
64.
Oh, 64.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that funny? He comes out to a 23. This is a person with a very healthy self-esteem. And it's a person that if he ever gets depressed, it's because he's not being stimulated in life. He has to have constant stimulation. He should be drawn to sports, either participating or watching sports. Very, very quick-minded, and he's a really good communicator. He could communicate with the Pope, God forbid, or he can communicate with a vagabond. He just has great communication skills, very gregarious, very social, does go through various processes of despondency and depression. But he just needs to be stimulated because his mind works really, really quickly. And if someone doesn't keep up the pace with him, you know, with this quickness and this optimism he has, he could get a little bit pissy about it. But he moves into the 23-5, which is for freedom, too. He should be in movement. He shouldn't, I imagine... Wherever he works at, he's not behind a desk. This man's in movement. They make good investigative reporters. They do very good investigation type work. You know, they're a good salesman. It's 5 Mercury. You know, they can sell a dog to a cat. but they move, they're very, very quick, very fast learner, very, very quick, very keen perception. Likes new people, new places, travel is very good for him. I'd be curious to see what his profession is because usually people who are born on the 21st lean towards psychology or child psychologist. But he's in movement, so he must take that someplace else.
How about it, Richard? Type it into the fast chat. Let's see. Interesting. it takes a minute for the fast chat to come up, so go ahead and continue with what you're saying. Sorry.
Well, that's I'd have to know what profession he's in right now. I want to see.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully he'll be able to type that in. Let me see if I hit refresh, if that'll bring it up any sooner. Not yet. So, yeah, it's interesting, you know, as I've told people before, you know, the way that you do this is so right on. And, I mean, I've watched you do it now for a number of people, and they are always just amazed at how accurate everything is. And like I said, you know, when you did my chart, it's like, whoa, I get it. You know?
Hey, you know, I do want to tell Seth he's supposed to be having his own business, and he should look into publishing as well.
Oh. There you go, Seth. That's another couple of
irons in the
fire.
And I'm sure he's thought about it. I'll bet you anything in the world he has thought about writing. You know, he probably has this quick-witted type style, and he really should put that into writing. But he does have publishing around him, so if he wanted to lean in that direction.
Interesting. It's amazing how this stuff works. Well, I still don't see anything. Let me hit refresh again. Oh, here it comes. Let's see. See what you got in there. He says he is in sales, and he travels the country in the restoration field.
Yeah, there. See, he's in movement. He's on the go. What did he want to know?
Interesting. Seth says I could start using the BBS chat rooms, real-time chatting. Well, I'll have to. Seth, you're going to have to talk me through that, you know. Seth had to talk me through how to email my my show theme to them, because I couldn't figure out how to do it. Oh, so that's another thing I'm going to have to learn, the BBS chat room. All right, I'll put that on my list. So Richard is in sales and travels the country.
Yep, he's on the move.
Interesting.
Hey, he's a real smart guy. And I'll tell you one thing, he is a very pleasant person. And he knows it. He has an unshakable self-esteem, and this guy knows he'll always come out on top. Always. 21s are like, who cares? I'll go come out on top anyway. And they usually do.
Interesting.
For someone who was born on the 16th like me, it's like fingers down the chalkboard. We're like, and there they are. It's like, whatever, I'm going to come in on top, and they do.
Let's see, he says, not much in sales, has a strong passion for politics and spiritual advancements, and not into sports.
Not into sports at all? How about watching it?
Well, no, he just says, sorry, not much into sports.
Wow, that's highly unusual.
Hmm.
So it seems like he's wanting to get out of sales.
I would guess that from this one sentence, but
he's diving more into his spiritual side.
Yes. Politics and spirituality. There you go.
See, now it's interesting because Seth, who was born on the 23rd. Is interested in politics, and Richard, his comes out to a 23-5, and see, like, this is being in a large center, you know, in this 23-5 is very captivating. You know, it's the words in action. They feel as if they have a lot to say.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, very interesting. Let's see.
The only thing they both have to concern themselves with, they're putting too many irons in the fire.
Richard,
you know,
says he's wearing his projector, too.
Huh?
Richard's wearing his projector, too. That's one of those things that I wear, you know.
Oh, I see. I see.
Holographic projector.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Well, see, now that just brings everything more into the empowerment field, because when you're doing something like that, you are basically working on your abilities to manifest, and you're reaching out into the universe looking for contact with the other beings and saying, hey, I want to be a citizen of the universe. So he's moving beyond just, you know, traveling around the country. So he's actually moving into outer space there. So interesting stuff. Okay, well, we're a half an hour over, so I think we should probably call it a night.
Okay.
And thank you so much. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Everybody loves it when you come on, Nobo.
Oh, I love being part of the show. Just a moment, please.
Yeah, it's so much fun for me, too. You know, we always, when we get together, we're always yakking away for so long, you know, and we really haven't had a chance to sit and really visit since I got back. But
no, it's. I was surprised to see that day. I was surprised to be at that restaurant for lunch, because I tell people I don't do restaurants. I don't like going to restaurants. And
uh-huh.
I was not expecting to go to a restaurant. And it just kind of like threw me completely off to walk into this room, and there's all these people crowded around this table. It's like, what on earth am I doing here? I don't do restaurants.
Oh, that's too funny.
It's too much. It's overstimulating for me. It's too much going on.
Yeah, I know. It is for a lot of people when they're energetically sensitive.
So I have to come out of that mode. Like, why, you know, how, it's like I was transported there under Elon's will.
Well, she is kind of a force of nature.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that's too funny. Well, anyway, thank you so much. You want to give your contact information so people can get a hold of you for a more in-depth reading?
It's PolorisJack@Q.com, which is PolorisJack@Q.com.
Okay, and
or the phone
number
is 928-300-3807.
Okay, thank you. And how much do you charge for a reading?
$125, and that, I don't set a time limit, but if I'm recording it on a CD, it only lasts 80 minutes. So 80
okay.
minutes minimum. I can't
okay.
find CDs that go over 80 minutes, CDRs.
Hmm.
I've searched
hmm.
for these things everywhere.
There's
probably
some way
longer, to... Because
if it goes
longer, I can't fit it on the CD. It's just one of those
yeah.
perplexing, weird things.
Hmm. Don't know anything about that myself. Anyway, thank you for
well,
being on. I appreciate
absolutely.
It. It's always fun, and happy
yes.
to have you on again. Listeners love it, and I love it, so that works. Okay, so thank you, everybody, for tuning in and listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. I'm sure you did. And until next week, be happy, be healthy, and be who you really are. Nighty-night.